You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Topic and document title, A Covenant God. This week, we are starting with this series on the cross. A theme that we will see shining through is, of course, the root of our faith. A wonderful opportunity to learn more about the Bible Yeshua, Jesus Christ read, and the world he came from and lived in. The second theme is the one I have been writing about in the book, the mezuzah, blood on the door. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. To start right away in a thought-provoking manner, I am going to make two statements which will be covered many times in this series. Yes, we do need a high priest, Kohen Gadol, to be with God. To live a life that has worth, we need to give, sacrifice all to God. I am sure that many after hearing this will say, Pastor, you are crazy. You are wrong. You went off the deep end. You became Judaic. Please stay with me for these couple of weeks and let me explain these statements and show you how you can have a true and personal relationship with God in which the heavens are opened with blessings. Let me show you the love of God, the Father, Jesus, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Let me show you how to be rich in excess when you are in wealth or when you are deep down in the gutter and sick. It has everything to do with the topic of today, a covenant relationship, a covenant God. Thank you for sticking around. Now let me take you with me on a great and wonderful roller coaster ride through the Bible, from the time that Abram became Avinu, our father, Abraham, through the cross of Jesus to evangelism in our current days. I understand that some of the message I am sharing with you may come across familiar, and I pray that this is the case because it means that you have God's word as knowledge on your heart. The Holy Spirit will let you use this knowledge at the right place and the right time. God always provides in the needs of those who love Him and are faithful. To start, we need to understand and build a solid foundation of the words we study. So let us open up the Word of God and read Genesis. Genesis chapter 15, Amplified Bible. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your abundant compensation, and your reward shall be exceedingly great. And Abram said, Lord God, what can you give me, since I am going on from this world, childless, and he who shall be the owner and heir of my house is this steward, Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram continued, Look, you have given me no child, and a servant born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This man shall not be your heir, but he who shall come from your own body shall be your heir. And he brought him outside his tent into the starlight and said, Look now toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he, Abram, believed in, trusted in, relied on, remained steadfast to the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness, right standing with God. And he said to him, I am the same Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land as an inheritance. But he, Abram, said, Lord God, by what shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said to him, Bring to me a heifer 3 years old, a she-goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, and cut them down the middle into halves, and laid each half opposite the other, but the birds he did not divide. And when the birds of prey swooped down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. When the sun was setting, a deep sleep overcame Abram, and a horror, a terror, a shuddering fear of great darkness assailed and oppressed him. And God said to Abram, "Know positively that your descendants will be strangers, dwelling as temporary residents in a land that is not theirs, Egypt, and they will be slaves there and will be afflicted and oppressed for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on that nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with great possessions, and you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old hoary age. And in the fourth generation, they, your descendants, shall come back here to Canaan again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full and complete." When the sun had gone down and a thick darkness had come on, behold, a smoking oven and a flaming torch passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant, promise, pledge with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites." Abram was brought by God out of the land of Ur of Chaldean, or in Hebrew, Ur of Kasdim, a place where his father Terah lived and where Abram most likely was born. It was a place where people worshipped the moon, and the name of Terah finds its root in the Hebrew word for moon, Yariasi. To understand what we are talking about, we need to understand what happened before the point where we started to read. The land consisted of many different little kingdoms, cities, and the surrounding areas protected by them. These cities fought against each other, making coalitions and pacts. The kings of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and Zoar, which are the five cities around the Dead Sea that later were destroyed by God for their sin, were attacked by a coalition of four. This coalition consisted of the king Chedorlaomer, Tidal, Amraphel, and Arioch. They went out and took from Sodom all the wealth and people, including Abram's nephew Lot and all his possessions. One of the people of Sodom escaped and went to Abram. Abram took the 318 servants that were born in his household, armed them, and slayed the four kings. The king of Salem, what we now know as Jerusalem, was named Melchizedek. He was the king and Kohen Gadol of this city. He went out to Abram, and the following happened. Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 23, Common English Bible. "Now Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and the priest of El Elyon, had brought bread and wine, and he blessed him. Bless Abram by El Elyon, creator of heaven and earth. Bless El Elyon, who gave you the victory over your enemies." Abram gave Melchizedek one-tenth of everything. Then the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and take the property for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I promise the Lord, El Elyon, creator of heaven and earth, that I wouldn't take even a thread or a sandal strap from anything that was yours, so that you couldn't say, 'I'm the one who made Abram rich.'" Abram recognized Melchizedek as the priest of the God Most High, El Elyon, and gave a tenth to him for God. He did not want to have anything to do with the smoothing up from the king of Sodom, because he had made a promise to God not to take anything that belonged to those he liberated. Now we know what happened and are able to understand what happened next. God poured out his blessing upon the one that was faithful with all that he had. However, Abram already was very rich and well established. He told the Lord, "What is it that you can give me? Because I will be leaving this earth without a child," meaning without a child from his wife, an heir to his throne. This is where God took him outside and showed him the land that was promised to him and his heirs. Abram, being a man of the world, questioned the gesture of God and asked how he could be sure that this land was his. We can see that God was not pleased with Abram questioning him. He went into a blood covenant with God and at the same time also brought judgment on his descendants because of this, 400 years in Egyptian slavery. This covenant is a very important and prophetic representation of what was to come. It shows us how, when Abram was ready, he was waiting for God, his covenant partner, to show up, how he was ready to fight off the predators that tried to take away from the covenant sacrifice, and how determined he was to fulfill his part of the deal, the covenant. He did not give up easily. He waited for God and fought off the predators until he finally could not stay awake anymore and fell asleep. While asleep, God came in his everlasting wisdom and mercy and passed through the sacrifice. God's presence passed through the sacrifice as a fire pot, an oven containing the refiners, God's fire. Abram was asleep and was not able to pass through, but also in this God provides. He passed through on Abram's behalf as the flaming torch, which is Jesus Christ. The refiner's fire cleanses everything and purifies. The fire that makes the covenant free from all personal interest and pollutions. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, verses 10 through 12, and verses 17 and 18. Amplified Bible. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, the Messiah, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger or angel of the covenant, whom you desire, behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the priests, the sons of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord offerings in righteousness. Bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer, insects and plagues, for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine drop its fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you happy and blessed, for you shall be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts, and they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I publicly recognize and openly declare them to be my jewels, my special possession, my peculiar treasure. And I will spare them, as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him who serves God and him who does not serve him." Another confirmation of this covenant and the cleansing fire of the Lord we find in the book of the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9, Amplified Bible. "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will hear and answer them. I will say, 'It is my people,' and they will say, 'The Lord is my God.'" The refining starts with the covenant and becomes a never-ending process. In Genesis 16, we read that Abram and Sarai waited on the Lord, but became impatient. When he was 86 years old, he had a child with Sarai's maid, Hagar, who was an Egyptian by birth. Hagar was given to Abram by Sarai as his second wife, with the one and only reason to provide him with an heir. We see in this that Abram up to now was monogamous in his marriage. But as we know, this was not in God's plan. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, Amplified Bible. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the Almighty God. Walk and live habitually before me and be perfect, blameless, wholehearted, complete. And I will make my covenant, solemn pledge, between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, behold, my covenant, solemn pledge, is with you, and you shall be the father of many nations, nor shall your name any longer be Abram, high exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, father of a multitude, for I have made you the father of many nations." Sarai now was called Sarah, meaning princess, and within 1 year, Isaac was born. The name of Isaac means laughter, because Abram was laughing in his heart when God told him that they would be with child at this very old age. In a covenant, both partners are held to the contract. One thing we never need to fear is this: God does not fail to keep his part of the contract. He has always and will always do what he has said, even when we need to wait until we are almost 100 years old. It is not about his faithfulness, but about our faithfulness. How much do we trust God? Are we like Abram when it comes to easily gained prosperity? Are we going to keep it, or are we going to pass by on it, like Abram did with the riches of Sodom? Are we trusting God to provide in all our needs, Jehovah Jireh? And like Abram, do we bring our tenth to the temple, as we read in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20? Sometimes we need to be brought down to a lower level to see how much we had, and especially how much we took for granted. This is us going through the refiner's fire. All our pride and acceptance of what we did gets burned off from the glorious provision of God. Then what is left is pure and brings honor and glory to his name. God's covenant is still the same. He still has the land promised to Abraham set aside for his people. He still has the promise of plenty on the Jews, the descendants of Abraham. He also still has the promise of Abraham to all of us. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 through 3, Amplified Bible. "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors, and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. And I will bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses or uses insolent language toward you. In you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves." That is a covenant that God made. Do you believe, or are you in disbelief? The covenant that God made with Abram, which we read about in Genesis chapter 15, was a covenant between him and his descendants. But how is it that we know so much about all of this? And how is it that we are so on fire about this first covenant? This, my friends, is because our God is not a God that changes his mind. In Numbers 23, we hear Balaam speak. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, Amplified Bible. "God is not a man, that he should tell or act a lie, neither the son of man, that he should feel repentance or compunction for what he has promised. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God has provided a covenant for you and me too. This is what we call the second covenant. As we move forward in the next couple of weeks in our teaching, we are going to see, as we saw this week, the saving grace and the promise of God upon our lives. Like Abraham, we will see God's reactions to our actions, our faithfulness to God, our trust in God with our belongings, and our willingness and patience to accept God's timing upon all things. Within all of this, God continuously shows us a reminder that we are in that second covenant. Why are we in a second covenant? John chapter 3, verse 16. King James Version. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is because we will never be able to live up to God's righteousness standards. Yes, indeed, we are traveling together on his highway of righteousness, his highway of salvation. But this is what we need first: salvation. Salvation provided by the second covenant in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Forgiveness and redemption from our sin by the blood of Jesus. Why? Romans chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, Common English Bible. God's righteousness comes through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ for all who have faith in him. There's no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory, but all are treated as righteous freely by his grace because of a ransom that was paid by Christ Jesus. This is a new covenant on top of the first covenant, a covenant of God that includes all that believe in him. Grace, righteousness in Jesus Christ. This, my friends, is the same type of covenant God made with Abram. It is a blood covenant. When God made this covenant with you and with me, we were just like Abram, fallen asleep, overcome within our dreams of darkness and anxiety under the influence of Satan himself, as Lot, stuck in a world and life of sin. However, it is Jesus Christ who passed through the sacrifice. It is Jesus Christ who passed through the blood on our behalf. It is God's refiner's fire that consumes and purifies the sacrifice. His Holy Spirit is speaking to you to accept that covenant with all it entails. As God tests us on our faithfulness, like he did Abraham, we are allowed to test God on his abundant blessings, as we read earlier in Malachi. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, Common English Bible. Live in this way, knowing that you were not liberated by perishable things like silver or gold from the empty lifestyle you inherited from your ancestors. Instead, you were liberated by the precious blood of Christ, like that of a flawless, spotless lamb. Christ was chosen before the creation of the world, but was only revealed at the end of time. This was done for you, who through Christ are faithful to the God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory. So now, your faith and hope should rest in God. Are we saved by the blood of the Lamb? Are you satisfied by just that knowledge? Do you live your Christian/messianic life to the fullest? With other words, are you saved and sanctified by Christ? O.R. Are you saved, sanctified, and Holy Spirit filled? Like Abraham, waiting on the Word, waiting on God, training in holiness, patience, righteousness, living life to the fullest, providing to God all that you have, trusting in him to be your Jehovah Jireh, trusting him completely to be your God, your provider. Let us seal this teaching the way Scripture itself seals covenant, with clarity, reverence, and a straight-line call to respond. A covenant is not a warm religious concept. Covenant is God binding himself to his word and then proving again and again that he keeps it. In Genesis chapter 15, Amplified Bible, Abram falls asleep and the Lord passes through the pieces. That detail is not small, it is the theology. The Holy One takes the weight of the covenant upon himself, and Abram receives what Abram cannot earn. That is the pattern. God initiates, God secures, God sustains. And that pattern lands at the cross with full force. Messiah does not merely teach covenant, he embodies covenant. He steps into the blood-marked corridor on our behalf, and the new covenant becomes the covenant of redemption. Real forgiveness, real cleansing, real adoption. That is why John chapter 3, verse 16, King James Version, remains the doorway verse for the nations, and why Romans chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, Common English Bible, dismantles human pride. Righteousness comes through Messiah's faithfulness and is received by faith, not by performance. The cross is covenant fulfillment in public view. He passes through for us. Then comes the part many believers try to skip, the refining. Covenant grace does not end at "I said a prayer." Covenant grace moves into holiness, into the refiner's fire, where God burns off mixture, double-mindedness, and compromise. Malachi chapter 3, Amplified Bible, and Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9, Amplified Bible, speak it plainly. God purifies so worship becomes clean and life becomes aligned. This is not God being harsh. This is God being faithful. He refuses to leave his people stuck in spiritual clutter. He refines because he intends to dwell among us, walk with us, and mark us as his own treasure. That is also why this series matters right now, and why the new Bible study / book on covenants and dispensations that will be released this year matters. That project is not extra content. It is a serious, scripture-anchored pathway that helps believers see the continuity of God's plan, from Abraham to Sinai, to the prophets, to Messiah, and forward into the kingdom to come. Dispensations, in a biblical sense, are not excuses to detach from Israel or dilute holiness. They are windows into how God administers his covenant purposes through history while never contradicting himself. In other words, the book is not a side quest. It is a map for the covenant journey. Step fully into covenant life. Receive salvation in Yeshua HaMashiach, and also hunger for the fullness of the Ruach HaKodesh. Bring your house under the mezuzah reality, blood on the door, and let your life declare what your mouth confesses. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let God refine you, bless you, and use you, whether you are thriving or barely holding on. Covenant holds in both places, and covenant always calls for a response. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.